This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hi there, Dave.
Our guest this time around is U.S. Attorney Peter Noronha, U.S. Attorney for the state of Rhode Island, Rhode Island's top federal prosecutor, who is also involved in convincing employers to hire ex-inmates. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Dave. Glad to be here.
This is a program that's actually part of a national effort by the Obama White House to find jobs for ex-inmates, right?
Yeah, the Department of Justice with the White House sponsored Reentry Week back in early May or late April. And the idea is to ensure that there are employment opportunities for ex-offenders. The Department of Justice, I have really become convinced that employment is the key to solving the problem of recidivism. And that's a problem we really need to solve for a lot of reasons. We need to solve it because every time an ex-offender commits a new crime, there's a new victim. That has its own cost. Every time an ex-offender commits a new crime, potentially we have to incarcerate that person again. That's an enormous cost. Rhode Island is spending $217 million this fiscal year on the Department of Corrections, and we're spending huge amounts of money to support our federal prisons. And, you know, we're sidelining a big part of our workforce. As many as one out of three every Americans of working age has had contact with the criminal justice system. We're sidelining a big chunk of our workforce, which can be productive.
Now, the issue of having a job is one thing, but one of the other pieces that comes out of it is that ex-offenders who do get jobs earn significantly less than they did before they went in. So part of this program is also about job training. You know, the sort of one of the things that the state is trying to do in so many ways,
right,
is to upgrade, you know, the skills of this population. How's that working right now?
Right. Well, there's a lot of ways to sort of skin that cat. There are programs behind the walls that aim to raise a level of skills, both in terms of the trades, but also academic skills, soft social skills. Those programs are out there. There are apprenticeship programs here in Rhode Island. We saw one recently where ex-offenders as well as non-ex-offenders are going through an apprenticeship program for the various construction trades and then getting placement with the trades. The Department of Labor and Training now, according to A.T. Wall, who I met with this morning on this subject, has someone who's dedicated to finding placement for ex-offenders with the right skills. Not only do we have to find jobs, we have to find jobs that will allow these folks to sustain a reasonable standard of living, like we do for everyone who's employed, right? I mean, it's one thing to have a job, but you got to have a job that you can support yourself and your family with. And that's a challenge, too.
The numbers seem to indicate that they have to find jobs, ex-inmates, that is, have to find jobs relatively quickly.
My sense is if you're getting out and you're not working pretty quickly, within a day or two, there's going to be the potential for trouble and recidivism. And what we're trying to have in place is where someone's getting out of either a federal or state prison, the federal or state probation officer, you know, has an employer network to reach out to and connect with to try to place these folks as they're getting out. And that's the other message we've tried to get across, is that when an employer, and there are many employers who are doing this with really good success in Rhode Island and nationally, but one thing we try to get across to employers who haven't taken this step yet is, you know, when they hire an ex-offender, they're not in it alone with the ex-offender. State and federal probation is there to manage the relationship to the extent it's necessary and try to find a good fit between the ex-offender and the employer.
If an ex-offender starts a business as an entrepreneur, they actually can't hire any ex-offenders. I mean, is that just Rhode Island? Is that national? How does that,
you know,
and is there a possibility of that changing?
You know, I'm not certain. It just came up in a meeting I had this morning with Corrections Director A.T. Wall, and we were talking about some of these unintended barriers to employment for ex-offenders. I'm sure there is a rationale behind that, but when you think about it, an ex-offender who started his own business and is now willing to pay it forward by taking a chance, again, working with the Department of Corrections for someone who's on work release, and is prevented from doing that. Well, maybe we should think about whether that makes sense. There may be perfectly valid reasons for it, but I think it's time to reexamine that and a lot of other things that may be barriers to employment. There are some things that we do federally. You know, the time it takes for us to do background checks for former offenders who are trying to get commercial loans to start a business, the amount of time it takes can really chill that loan process. We've really got to identify all those barriers and see which ones we can tweak to make this process a little bit easier and a little bit better.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guest is U.S. Attorney for Rhode Island, Mr. Peter Nerona. There was a recent local summit to meet with potential employers. How did that go? How was the reception? Did they like the idea of tax and other incentives for hiring ex-offenders? How did that go?
Yeah, well, the idea behind the summit was to get employers speaking to employers. It's one thing for your U.S. attorney to speak to a potential employer and talk about this issue, but I was really convinced, along with we had many partners in putting this together, the governor's office, Governor Raimondo was a great partner and supporter in this. But the idea was to get employers speaking to employers, because I really felt like they're the ones who can impart the message, if you will. They can talk about the advantages and the disadvantages, where there have been issues, and what the positives are. And so the heart of it was for them to hear from other employers here in Rhode Island and elsewhere. Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, the health network, has hired a lot of former offenders to hear about how it's gone for them. We felt it went really well. We had over 160 people there. We had to actually turn some folks away. The critical thing for us now is to do something in the aftermath of that summit.
Once an ex-offender is hired, what kind of follow-up is there to ensure that they have a chance for advancement?
You know, I think probation, when an ex-offender, most of them, when they're, if we're getting them employed really quickly, most of them are coming out of prison with some period of probation or supervised release attached. And it's usually for some fairly extensive period of time, at least 6 months on average, probably in many instances longer than that. And so probation will be involved. And so they'll know what the person is doing and how they're doing. But ultimately, it's up to the ex-offender like it is for any other employee, right? We're all of us who are employed by somebody. We advance where our talents and hard work take us. What our hope here is not to guarantee a job, not to guarantee advancement, but to make sure there's an opportunity, that they have an opportunity to compete for a job. And once they're in the job, to compete for advancement like everybody else.
Do you find, and this is sort of an interesting sociological thing, is because a lot of these ex-offenders are getting out after extended sentences, are they actually even more inclined not to go back to the life that led them to go there just because they're getting older?
Yeah, I think that's right, Mark. You know, one of the things I've noticed as we've talked to inmates or former inmates, and some of them spoke at the summit, you know, by the time they're getting out, if you've done a 10 or 12-year sentence on a federal drug charge, you know, you're 36, you're 38, you're 42, that's a little old to be going back to the street corner. Many of the employers who spoke said, look, we're getting the people we've hired have a real loyalty to the company and work really, really hard because they're so grateful for the opportunity in the way that sometimes, you know, your 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-old person with their first job may not appreciate that opportunity as much. Don't get me wrong. I have a 19-year-old, and if he's listening, I know there's some 19-year-olds out there who work really hard, but the point is that these guys are appreciative of the opportunity, both men and women, and often make the most of it.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Our guest has been U.S. Attorney for Rhode Island, Peter Nerona.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here, Dave.
This is The Bottom Line. I'm Dave Fallon. This is Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.